Hi, good morning and welcome to Authentic Life Church. We're so glad that you've joined us here today, whether you're here in person with us or if you're still joining us online. We're glad that you've decided to connect with us in that way. Online, and you'll find in your seat if you're here in person, we have our bulletin with lots of announcements in it, ways that you can stay connected during this time, even though we're a little bit limited in our in-person worship. There are life groups that you can join, or if you're already a part of those, talk to your life group leader about whether or not there's an in-person option, or several of our life groups still have online options. So you can connect with us in that way. Another thing that we have online is the membership class. Maybe you've been joining us online or in person, and you wanted to take the next steps, find out if you want to join our church. And we have a membership class that is online at this point, where you can work around your schedule. So you can let Pastor Jeff know that using your connection card, which we also have posted online at our website, www.authenticlifeaz.com. So there you can also give your tithes and offerings, or if you're here in person with us, you can put your connection card and your tithes and offerings in the box in the back, which is conveniently labeled tithes, offerings, and connection cards. Ask me if you have questions. No, we're glad that you're here with us. Another thing that we would encourage you to do, Pastor Jeff put out a survey on our Facebook page asking people who are still joining us online what their plans are for the future. And we would encourage you to take that survey so that we can plan ahead. And then weekly, you can let us know which worship service you're coming to, again, so that we can plan. We do have restrictions on the number of people we can have, and so far that has not been a problem at all. But we would like to know ahead of time how many people to expect. So a praying life, we talked about that last week, is a Bible study or prayer time, if you will, that Pastor Jeff has started. When we get a couple more people interested, either you can let Pastor Jeff know through email or you can use your connection card to do that, then we will start forming the groups that will meet at different times of the week. So that's called a praying life in your bulletin there. I think that's all we have for today, so I'm going to turn it over to Hector.
Hello, my name is Hector. Just like Emily said, I'm here to talk to you about Christian Challenge and the work I'm doing with Christian Challenge. As a missionary for Christian Challenge, I'm going to have three requests, if you don't mind me giving you guys requests. One of those requests is... sorry, I have on my list here and I lost where I was. One of those requests is that praise that God brings people that are able to support me. I'm raising funds, still looking for people that are able to support. People that could pray for me, definitely need prayer in this. Pray that we reach Pima greatly and that his word is brought there and his light beams greatly there also. Also pray for endurance as I ready support for Pima for Christian Challenge also. And that's about it. So let's pray for the service. Heavenly Father, thank you for today, and thank you that we're able to worship and praise you. Allow this music to honor and glorify you. Allow this sermon to greatly touch people also. Allow us to not just hear it, but allow us to apply it and truly take it in. In your name I pray, amen.
Song of Ascent was used, was a psalm or a song, because it was their hymnal, used one of two situations, either as a pilgrim made the journey up the mountain to Jerusalem to worship, or as a priest walked up the steps of the temple to worship. So it was a song that opened their hearts to worship, and that opened worship. So that's why we're going to start with it today. Let's get into it.
Thank you.
worship service and through Pastor Jeff as he brings your word to us. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Right, how are we, guys? You guys doing good? You can be seated. It's good to be with you guys today. I think they're having some video trouble there. We're just going to dive in this morning. How's everybody? You guys doing okay? You're here. Man, I like that. Sometimes you just need an honesty answer, right? Like, I'm here. You know, it's amazing. Used to be for the longest time ever, you know, the number one response to how are you is I'm good, and half the time it was a lie, you know? And so, guys, it's super good to be with you guys today, and just gather to worship God and to make much of Jesus together. And as Hector said earlier today, we want you guys to see him more. We want to have him more in front of you. He and I got to go out to Pima East this past week and pray over that campus. And, we got kicked out, didn't we, Hector? We did, man. They got to get out of here. So, man, we went out there and prayed, and they kicked us out. But that was okay. We got to pray for a while and just really pray over them, the students, the faculty, the staff, all those, the teachers and everything. So, he's a missionary coming. He's serving on our team and going out there to reach them. And it's going to be difficult right now because there's no students meeting on campus. And so we got to figure that out. But be in prayer for him and as he raised funds. And I remember doing that as we came down here. You have a job, right, where you clock in, you clock out, or you have a salary, whatever that may look like. But when we moved down here, we raised a lot of support to be able to come down here as missionaries to plant Authentic Life. And that's the stage that he's in right now, is to raise that support. So be in prayer for him on that. Hey, guys, as a church family, we've been walking through the amazing book in the New Testament called Ephesians. And in Ephesians, God used a man named Paul, the Apostle Paul, to write this letter to the church in Ephesus, but also just as much for us today. It's very applicable for us today. It's just as much true. And so what we see in Ephesians is two overarching themes throughout this letter. The first one is, who are we? What's our identity in Christ? And then the second one is, how do we live that out? And so there's three things that we're reminded of. The first one is, who are we without Jesus? Here's who you were. Here's who I was without Jesus. We were lost. We're slaves to our sin, chained to our sin, spiritually dead and separated from God because of our sin, because of our actions, because of who we are. But Paul reminds us that when we trust in Jesus, when Jesus saves us, when we surrender our lives to Jesus as Lord, God rescues us and saves us from our sins. And guys, he forgives us of our sins when we surrender our lives to him. He saves us from our sins. He forgives us. He gives us a new identity. In other words, it's this: we are no longer who we used to be. That's good news, amen, right? A lot of times we are tempted to act or live as though we are still the same, or we're tempted to live as those that are around us that don't know Christ. But Jesus says that we are made new, we are born again, and he tells us that we are fully adopted into the family of God, and therefore we are fully loved children of God. You know what that means, guys, is we belong to him and he belongs to us. And then, so that's the first three chapters. The last three chapters, Paul encourages us and even commands us that we are to no longer live as the world or as we did before Christ, but we are to live as Jesus' followers. What does that mean? As we see Jesus move, we follow. Amen, right? We do what he calls us to do. We're to live as children of God. And so Paul tells us what that looks like. In chapters 4 through 6 is all that. Here's what that life looks like. But he says this in verse 5. He gives us eight words that really describe what we should be doing in every area of our life. He says, because of who you are, be imitators of God as beloved children. So when he says be, that word be means to be, but also to keep on becoming. So here's what Paul in God's word is teaching us. Because of who we are now, because you are a child of God, imitate God. Right? Imitate God, meaning let his life be our standard. We set a lot of standards and milestones that we want to hit, but he is to be the standard. I think, church, we would all agree with this. We tend to wander off sometimes, right? And we want to follow and do our own things, or we want to do what the world points us to. But God is being clear. We're not to reflect the world. We're not to reflect our old selves. We're to reflect Him, right? We ought to live out His characteristics in our life. And over the past 2 weeks, Paul tells us what that looks like. He says, hey, church, as imitators of God, we must imitate God, but we must walk in love, meaning this: we must love like Jesus loved. We got to love like Jesus loved you and me. We're to love God with all we are, and we're to love others with a selfless, unconditional, sacrificial, and intentional love. And then the Bible says this, we looked at this last week, we are to walk in light, right? We're to walk in light of the Lord. To follow Jesus and to walk in His light is to do this, is to walk in goodness. Right, it's to walk in goodness, to walk in kindness, to live a life that's beneficial to others. He says that we're to walk in righteousness. That should be evident in our life, that we are following what the Lord has said, that we are living lives that are obedient to Him, and we're to walk in truth. And so, guys, we are to let God's light shine on every area of our life, and then to let that shine out of us by how we live. And I don't know about you guys, but I was greatly challenged by the text last week. But that leads us to where we are today. And the third is this. The third walk that Paul talks about, we got walk in love, walk in light. And today it's walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. And so if you guys would grab your Bibles, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5 today. That's where we've been for a few weeks, Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to begin by looking at three verses beginning in verse 15. And so if you guys would do me a favor, would you guys stand with me? Even you guys that are at home, I think it's just good to participate in that. Stand to honor God and His Word and follow along as I read aloud. So Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, here's what God's Word tells us. It says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Church, let's pray. God, we love You. And God, there's so much truth just packed in every word, every sentence, every verse, every chapter. God, we pray, Lord, today. And this prayer is going to be very applicable for us today. God, we pray, Lord, that what we read today, we would apply to our lives. Be in charge of our thoughts. Be in charge of our heart this morning. Be in charge of my words and what comes out of my mouth. God, we pray, Lord, that our hearts and our thoughts, our minds, everything within us, God, would be glorifying to You. And so, God, we give You this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. So Paul begins by using a word here in the text that we see often. It's the word therefore, right? So when you see the word therefore, you should ask, what is that therefore, right? And so here's what it is. This is written to those that are saved, those that are followers of Jesus. And he's basically saying this, therefore, because of everything that I've just told you, because of who you are in Christ, because Jesus is Lord of your life, because you're children of God, because you're living to imitate God and walk in love and walk in light, because of all of those things, he says, therefore, be careful how you walk. Be careful how you walk. That's a phrase we use a lot of times if you go hiking in Tucson, right? Be careful how you walk, because things don't like you stepping on them, right? And so I remember going up to, I was on a hike with some ministry friends of mine, some other missionaries, and we were walking. I hadn't been here very long, and it was pretty funny because I'm sitting there watching really close for rattlesnakes, because where I'm from, there's no rattlesnakes, right? And so we're just sitting there walking, and I was the second one in line, and the guy says, no, you're okay. It's the third person that needs to be careful. I said, why is that? He said, well, the first person wakes a snake up. The second one ticks the snake off. The third one gets bit, right? And so I made sure that one of the older guys is right there. He lived a good life. You know, we just put him back there. But that's what we're saying. Therefore, be careful how you walk. The CSB translation says it this way: pay careful attention then to how you walk. And so I want to pause for a minute so that we can focus on this phrase, to be careful, to pay careful attention. This is a phrase that a lot of times we would look at and we just move right on, right? But this phrase is important. It helps set the tone for our verses today. Here's what that phrase means. To be careful. Here's what that means. It's to keep something in our sight or in our mind continually. To keep our eyes and our mind focused. So, and along with this Greek phrase, there's a sense of urgency along with it. It means to be diligent about being careful and paying careful attention. To help us understand, here's how this phrase would be used often. This phrase would often be used in a military sense, and so the commander would be up there with his soldiers, right? And he would be up there, and he would be preparing them to go into battle, and he would tell them to pay careful attention, right? Here's what he was telling them. Don't lose focus. Don't forget everything. Don't forget your training. Don't forget what we taught you. Don't get distracted, but always keep your eyes open and focused. Be diligent and see things accurately. And so as we walk in life, that's what we're to do. It's a reminder for us, but it's also a command. You know, Paul's not saying, hey, I think it would be a good idea if you did this. It's a command. It's an imperative to pay careful attention. But this phrase is also tricky because it's continual. It's continual. In the soldier scenario, the soldier is to pay careful attention for however long he is in battle. Right? If you've ever been in battle, you understand that, right? You're just on until you're not, right? So there's a set period of time. But for us, this is to be continual, which means throughout our entire life. Paul is saying, be careful and continue to be careful. That's to be our way of life. We have a tendency to be careful and pay attention to things for a while. We're good at it for a while, right? Especially, you know, for me, I've got ADD, so my while might be a little bit less than your guys's, right? But it's easy for us to lose that carefulness. I'm going to give you some scenarios. When you get a new car, new to you, new, brand new, whatever it may be, you pay close attention and you're careful with that car. You're careful with how it looks and the details for a while. You don't want fingerprints on it, right? I remember the first time I got a black car. Don't touch my car, right? Right? You're careful with fingerprints. You don't want anybody touching anything on the inside or outside. What do you do in a parking lot? You park it further out, right? And you wash it inside and out for a period of time. But guess what happens? Over time, it tends to lose its value to us. Right? And we tend to pay less attention to it. Maintenance gets done whenever we think about it, as opposed to on a regular basis. We park as close as we can. We don't care if the door is going to hit us next to us, right? We haven't washed the thing in months. We have things on the floorboard. We have no idea what they are, how they got there, or when they got there, right? And so there's just a carefulness that we pay attention, right? There's a carefulness that we pay attention when we first get the car. I don't know what is so funny. Did I say something funny? All right, I thought somebody was making fun of me. But here's the thing. You get a new car and you have kids, that carefulness lasts like 5 minutes as opposed to maybe 5 months, right? You get that? Let's talk about on a more serious note. On a more serious note, I think about almost 8 years ago. Almost 8 years ago, Jessica and I went to the hospital, right? And I remember bringing Jackson home from the hospital. But when we were there, there's a picture of, you guys know my little sister, there's a picture of me when she was a baby, and I didn't want to have anything to do with her. Like, I held her out like this. Like, if Mom wanted me to carry her, I held her out like that. I didn't care if she dangled or not. But as you grow and mature and you start valuing life, right, and I value my sister. Don't get me wrong. She's not in here at this moment, so she can't throw anything at me. But, no, I value her, but there's just that famous picture that my mom has of me holding her out like this. But the pictures of me holding Jax at the hospital is very close, right? You just learn how to care for that baby. I held him with extreme caution. I paid careful attention. I saw and I noticed and I tended to his every need. Church, I was fully aware of everything that was going on with him and everything that was going on around me. And trying to remember everything I learned about how to care for him because he was our firstborn. And I'll tell you what, that drive home from the hospital, right? And normally you just kind of jump in and you hit kind of cruise and you just go, right? Not this time, right? I get in and I triple made sure that car seat was in there appropriately. And I quadruple made sure that he was in his seat correctly. And then the drive, man, you are super aware of everything and every car around you. A car gets like within like 5 miles from you and you get mad at him. You start yelling at him, I got a baby in here, right? And you're super careful. It's almost as if that driving instructor is in the car with you again while you're trying to get your driver's license. You're paying that careful attention. It's just a time to be careful and pay careful attention. And that's what Paul is telling us to do as we pursue Jesus in our life. He's saying, church, be alert. Stay focused. Keep your eyes on it. Keep your mind ready. For what? What are we keeping our mind ready for. Are we getting that picture, though, that he's saying, hey, be alert, be ready, be focused. Don't take your eyes off it. What are we supposed to pay close and careful attention to? Verse 15 says this, be careful how you walk. Our walk is our way of life. We're really good at compartmentalizing, right? We have our life on Sunday. We have our life at home. We have our life at work. We have our life at church. We have our life with friends and family. But it's how we talk. It's how we love. It's how we work. It's how we serve. It's how we are as friends and family, in church, within groups, or in private. It's how we do life. And it's our continual way of doing life. As Paul is telling us, he's telling us something here. He's telling us that we must be intentional with our life and how we walk. Church, we are to see our lives and our walk and know that each word, each step, each thought, each action matters. And we're to be careful about how do we walk continually. We're to be intentional and serious about our lives as we follow Jesus. Think about when you came to know Christ. That is my phone. Siri's talking to me. A lot of times, think about this, church. A lot of times, it's just going to keep talking to me. A lot of times as Christians, do you guys remember when you guys became a Christian, right? When I was first saved, March 2nd, 1988, Derek to the rescue. Thanks, man. I didn't say Siri, and now she's going to start talking again, right? March 2nd, 1988, I came to know Christ at 7:45 p.m. Are you guys checking with me? All right. There's a desire to follow Jesus when you get saved. There's a desire to learn and grow and let. I think it's on my phone, Derek, not on the tablet. There's a desire to learn and to follow Jesus. There's a desire to be in the Bible. There's a desire to tell others about Jesus. Are you with me, church? Am I just talking to myself here? Are you guys with me? When you get saved, there's a desire to follow him, and you're very attentive to how you're doing that. Man, I wanted to be in the Bible. I was intentional, and I was paying careful attention about my walk with Jesus. I was intentional about it. I wanted to walk with Jesus closely. But then again, just like other things in our lives, we get to a point where we hit autopilot. We hit cruise, and we just aren't as attentive to our walk. And Paul is saying, hey, as you imitate God, as you walk in love, as you walk in light, be careful and pay attention as to how you walk. It's almost as Paul is saying, hey, don't hit cruise, right? He's turning that check engine light on. He's turning that on, and we're not supposed to take like electric tape and cover it over, right? Cover it up. We do that sometimes, don't we? He's saying, hey, Jesus follower, don't lose focus. Don't get distracted. Don't hit cruise, but pay careful attention to how you walk daily. Carefully give attention to how you walk and talk and live. Carefully pay attention to how you live your life as a Jesus follower. Church, I want to challenge you today as we look at this walking in wisdom. Don't hit cruise. Don't hit cruise. So how do we walk? What does it look like according to this text? He says in verse 15, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. So Paul does something here that he does over and over again in Ephesians. He tells us, hey, don't do this, but do this instead. Right? If you're a parent, you get that. You tell your kid, hey, because you got to replace it. You can't just tell them not to do something. You got to give them something else to do. Hey, don't say these words, but say this instead. So Paul has said to us so far in Ephesians, hey, don't walk in darkness, but walk in the light of the Lord. Don't live out impurity and greed, but live out the love of Jesus. Don't lie and have sinful anger or steal, but instead walk in truth. Give your anger to God or work hard so you can give to others. I think that's helpful for us, right? Set this aside and replace it with this. And Paul is saying the same thing here. He's saying, don't walk as unwise men or women, but as wise. And I think the question is what does it mean to be wise? What does it mean to have wisdom? I think that's a question we have to wrestle with. It's easier for us when we think about wisdom, I think, to put a person's face in our mind when we think about someone who is wise. If I say the word wise, just think about what comes to your mind. Okay? Sadly enough, I'm going to show you what came to my mind first, right? So here's what came to my mind. Go ahead and put that picture up there. Mufasa, right? Go to the next one. Like that's the original, and then this one is the new one, right? The live action. Do you guys, which one do you like, the original or the live action? You got to go with the original, right? It was okay, man. The new one was okay. But here's the thing: in that story, he was wise. when he spoke, the animals listened, right? Because he had words of power and authority, and he knew what he was talking about. They listened. He was wise. Then you have this guy, right? I'm not a Star Wars guy, so I don't know much about Yoda. I can still be a Christian and not be a Star Wars guy, just so you guys know, right? But here, I don't know much about him, but the official Star Wars character description literally says that Yoda is small in size, but he's wise and powerful. Or how about this guy? I'm going to date myself a little bit. This is from when I was growing up. Mr. Miyagi, right? Man, he was wise. But maybe for you, you think about a parent. Or you think about a grandparent, or you think about a pastor, or you think about a friend, or you think about a teacher, or a mentor, or just someone in your life. We seem to have a face in mind when we think about wisdom. We see them as exemplifying wisdom. But what does it mean? What does it mean biblically to be wise? When we think about the Bible for scholarly or studying purposes, the Bible is broken out into different categories. The books of the Bible are broken out into sections. You have the Gospels. You got four books in the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? You've got Pauline letters. Pauline letters are the letters that Paul wrote, like we're looking at here in Ephesians. You have the Pentateuch, right? That's the first five books of the Bible. There are the major and the minor prophets. Are you with me so far? They're broken out in different sections. But then you've got five books that are known as wisdom and poetic literature. Books of wisdom. Job, Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. Church, wisdom is a big deal in the Bible. If you open up the book of Proverbs, for example, you can't go very far without finding verses about being wise or having wisdom. Proverbs 13:20 sounds a lot like our text today, right? Today it says, walk not as wise, but not as unwise men, but as wise. This proverb says this, the one who walks with the wise will become wise. And our text today says, right, walk in wisdom, right? So we like this. But a companion of fools will suffer harm. And we're going to talk about what both of those mean today. So what does it mean biblically to be wise? What does it mean not to walk as unwise, but as wise? Often when we think of an older person, we think of wisdom, don't we? Right? That's the whole saying, you know, if you've got gray hair, you're wise, right? And that very well may be true. In fact, it should be true. But it's not always the case. I've met some younger people that are extremely wise, right? And I've met some older people that are extremely not. Okay, let's just say it that way. When you look in the dictionary, you guys go home and just pull up the dictionary, you're going to see definitions all over the place of what it means to be wise. But I want to give you biblical statements. I'm going to give you a few statements that will help us know what it means biblically, according to Scripture, to have and to walk in wisdom. The first is this. Wisdom is, let's get that up there real quick. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. It's the right use of knowledge. It's to have knowledge to know what God says. Church, it's to know what God's word says and to live it out accordingly. Too often we think that wisdom stops with knowing, right? There's this big pursuit in our world to know and to know and to know and to know and just cram more and more and more knowledge. There's a guy that I went to a seminary with, and I think it was like his 14th degree he was going after, right? He didn't have any desire to apply that. He just wanted to keep learning, right? And so, but knowing and having knowledge does not make one wise. Wisdom is the right use of true knowledge. So a man named Charles Spurgeon, known as the Prince of Preachers, he says it this way. Many men know a great deal. They know a lot of things and are all the greater fools for it. There is no fool so great a fool as a knowing fool. But to know how to use knowledge is to have wisdom. Here's what that means. There are plenty of very smart men and women. Amen. There are. Man, there's a plenty of smart men and women. They have knowledge. Church, they even have biblical knowledge. They know what God and His Word says. But according to these, according to Scripture, they're still foolish. Because it's foolish to pursue that knowledge, to know more and more and not to apply it. I just want to challenge you. If that's you today, then you just have this desire to learn more and more and more, but you're not applying it to your life, Scripture has a word for that. It's foolish. It's foolish to know what God says and then to not live it out in our lives. So here's another statement that I put on your notes, and I hope it's helpful for you today. The number one thing in your notes says this: wisdom is the ability to see from God's perspective and then to apply that to our life daily. Wisdom is the ability to see from God's perspective and then to apply that to our life daily. Because His perspective is real truth. It's right. And guys, it's the only perspective that matters. There's a lot of perspectives out there, isn't there? Church, when we walk with the Lord, when we have our eyes on Jesus, when we are in the Word of God, when we are with God's people growing and pursuing Him, then we begin to see how God sees life. We can't see how God sees life if we're not walking with Him. But when we're walking with Him, we begin to see it from the ultimate source of truth. We begin to see how He approaches and responds to situations. We can see it in the life of Jesus. How did He live? How did He walk? How did he respond to certain situations? We listen to what He says, right? And that it's truth. We listen to it and we know it when God tells us how to live, right? We just pursue that. We apply it to our lives. Because like Spurgeon's quote says, if we know what God says, if we know what God's Word says, and we choose to reject it, and we choose to not live it out, the Bible says it's foolish. You know what that means? It makes no sense. It's unwise. And church, it also means it's sinful. It's sinful. Remember what we said in verse 1, or what Paul said, be imitators of God as beloved children. Guys, that's biblical wisdom. To see God, to know God, and to see His characteristics, to see His truth, and then to imitate it and live it out. That's biblical wisdom. And here's the thing. For us to pay careful attention, for us to walk not as the unwise but as wise, it's not a suggestion, it's a command. But on our own, in our own ability, this is not something that just comes to us. If we're honest. Right? It's not like we just open up the Bible and says, oh, do this, and we go and do it. It's not something that just comes to us naturally. We're not able to do it on our own. In fact, too often, here's what we do. We want to trust in ourselves. Even people that know the Bible really well, there's a lot of people that know the Bible really well that don't live it out. Because they trust in themselves. But here, Proverbs 28:26, I just love the Word of God. It just lays it out there for us. The Bible says this, the one who trusts in himself is a fool. The one who trusts in herself is a fool. But one who walks in wisdom will be safe. Church, all we have to do is see where the world is leading us. This world is a mess. We see we're following us and trusting us has got us, right? Amen, church, right? I mean, that's just the reality. Following us. Here's what following us got us. It led to us needing to be rescued by Jesus. Following you led to you needing to be rescued by Jesus. The same thing with me, right? Following us is dangerous. Following the world is dangerous, but following the Lord and learning and knowing and applying His truth to our lives, then we are safe and living as God has called us to. Guys, we need Him to help us. We need to call on Him. And so think about this prayer. Lord, I've got this situation. I've got this concern. I have this problem. I have a difficult decision. I have something in my life and I need to respond or act. God, I need to know what you say. I need to know your truth and your way and your perspective. And God, help me trust you and live it out and do whatever you tell me to do. Do whatever is right in your eyes. But you know what we do? Instead, we seek the wisdom of Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and our friends and our spouses and other people. But God says, seek me first and live it out. But we lack in that. James 1:5 helps us. He says, if any one of you lacks wisdom, you know what he's talking to? He's talking to you, those that are believers. He says, if you lack wisdom, he or she should ask God. Why? Because he gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him or her. Ask God. Not social media. Not unbelievers. Not the world's perspective, not even your own perspective. Not that long ago, I was working with an individual that was walking through a hard time in their life. And when we took inventory of their life, they were listening to everybody else but the Lord. You see where that gets you. we're to see whatever it is in our life, and we're to ask God for His perspective and ask Him to help us live it out and apply it. So how do we love, serve, work? How do we be a godly parent or child? How do we be the spouse God has called us to be? How do we respond to people? How do we forgive people? How do we act? Well, we ask God. And whatever He tells us to do, we apply that. So we must be careful in how we walk. We are to pay careful attention to how we walk. We're to be intentional. We're to be focused and dedicated to walk in godly wisdom, to see life from God's perspective and to live it out. Church, keep our eyes out for distraction. Keep your eyes open for lies. Keep your eyes and your minds focused on truth and apply it. How do we do that? Well, we got to be in the Word of God. And then we ask God, right? God, allow me to see my life from your perspective and apply it. Empower me to know and live. One thing I like to do when I'm talking with people one-on-one or in small groups doing discipleship is I like to ask them about what lens they're seeing life through. Right? What goggles do you have on? What lens do you have in your glasses today? How are you seeing the world today? And Scripture's being very clear. We're to see it through the lens of God. Let's move on. Verse 16. In verse 15, we have the what. Right? What do we need to know? We need to know that we're to pay careful attention to how we walk, and we need to know that we're to walk in wisdom. The verse 16 begins the how. But before we do that, we actually saw the first how from James 1:5. James writes, "Now if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God," right? "And he will give it to him." Church, I think when we walk in wisdom, we see dependency. Right? This is showing that we are unable and God is able and that He is the source. We're prideful people. Amen? We are. We're prideful people. And so we're to have that heart of dependency. And God says, and say, "God, I can't. I'm going to set me aside and I'm going to put you on. I'm going to depend on you." And that's the first thing in your notes. How do we walk in wisdom? We depend on God. Don't depend on yourself. Don't depend on other people. Depend on God first and foremost. Trust in Him. We seek Him first. And then we come to verse 16, and Paul says this. He says, "Making the most of your time because the days are evil." We're to walk in godly and biblical wisdom by looking at our life, seeing that we are surrounded by evil. Anybody in the room or anybody online think we're not living in an evil world? Paul says this. He says, we are to make the most of your time. Make the most of your time. A lot of times in the English language, we have one word that describes many different things. But Scripture actually is using a word here. The Greek word here is not the time when we look at the clock. Right? He's not saying make the most of 1 o'clock or make the most of 10:30. He's not saying that. The Greek word is the word kairos. That's the Greek word, kairos. And that word is talking about an allocated season. It's a given season. It's talking about a period of time. And for us, it's talking about the time we have in our human life on earth. That's what that word means. Kairos is talking about what our life on earth. When we think about life, each and every one of us, we only have a period of time that we're alive on this planet. Here's the great part. If we know Jesus, when we're done on this earth, right, we go to live with Him for eternity, right? Monday, got a fellow pastor, a friend of mine, pastors a church, probably, I don't know, 20 minutes from here, 25 minutes from here, fell off a ladder, hit his head, didn't make it. And I was talking with another pastor friend of mine, and we were just talking about how it's just been hard. Man, we've lost 2 pastors, you know, 2 pastors within a month and a half, right? And I was talking to this other pastor, and he said something really wise. It was really good. I said, "Man, it's been tough, you know, the loss of Brian and Gary." And he said, "Brian's having a good day." You know, I'm saying, "What do you mean he had a good day? He fell down and busted his head. He's no longer with us." But he said, "Brian's having a good day. He's walking with Jesus. It's the rest of us that are suffering." But I'll tell you what, if you know Brian made the most of his time. Brian made the most of his time. But this passage right here is talking about our days here. The world has been going on for a very long time. You ask different people, they'll give you different answers on how long the world has been going on, but each and every life only has so many years. I have a great uncle that lived to be 107 years old. And you know, the thing that he fell and didn't make it, like, it wasn't even like his health that took him out. Like, he could have gone on for a couple more years, right? 107 years old, right? But we also know that many have less time than that, right? We don't know what that is. God does. But think about this. Here's a few realities that is going to help us with the idea that we're to make the most of our time. The first is this. Be aware of the brevity of life. Be aware of the brevity of life. Think about this. When a person finds out that they only have so much time left to live, it changes how they live. Right? You know, they're not laying on their deathbed saying, man, I wish I would have done this more, done this more. I wish I would have lived for Jesus more. I wish I would have loved my wife better. I wish I would have been better. Are you with me, church? Man, it just changes how we live when we know the shortness of our life. We have to know that we are not here on earth for eternity. James 4:14 says this, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring, what your life will be, for you are like vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. The idea of this, the picture of this is, you know, we don't really have this here because we're in the desert, but in Kansas City, it gets really cold. Okay, you walk outside when it's freezing outside and you breathe, right? You see your breath. That's the picture that James is talking about here. It's there for a little bit and then it's gone. That's that picture. And here's the reality. This isn't supposed to be a depressing thought. Because if we know Jesus and He saved us, man, we're going to live with Him for eternity in His presence with no pain, no war, no sorrow, no death, no coronavirus, no racism. Are you with me, church? But we've got to know the brevity of life. Why? Because it changes how you live each day. The second is this. So be aware of the brevity of life. And the second is this. Know that how you live matters. You hearing me? How you live matters. When Paul writes that we're to make the most of our time, he's telling you that each moment matters. I remember when I finished eighth grade and I started my freshman year. I was about to start my freshman year and me and my dad, we sat down and he was talking to me. Right? You guys have those moments with your parents where they speak into your life, right? Some you don't remember, most you probably don't, but some you do. And this is one of those moments, and I'll never forget the words he said to me. He said, hey son, Jeff, as you get older, each year will seem to go by faster and faster. That's true. Like, I looked up this year, and I graduated high school 20 years ago, right? I know some of you are looking at me like you're a pup, but that's 20 years, man, like that. But you know, the weird thing is every year my freshman, my sophomore, my junior, my senior, my college, oh, they go by quick. You know, me and my wife this year, we hit 16 years of marriage. It goes by quick. I remember our marriage. I remember our wedding. I remember our marriage. I remember our wedding like it was yesterday. But it goes by quick. And my dad says it seems to go by faster and faster. And he says this, don't waste it. We're to identify the things in our life that are a waste. There's a lot of things in our life that are a waste. But we are to prioritize what really matters. When me and my wife make decisions in our life, we prioritize. We start, can we honor God with this decision? Right? Can we love each other in our marriage with this decision? Can we take care of our kids and love our kids in this decision? We have prioritized in our life. Every decision we make on a bigger scale is focused. That's what we do. We walk through that priority list. We're to prioritize what really matters. And here's the thing. If we were to stop and think about how we have lived our lives as Christians. Now here's the thing. We're not going to be perfect. Amen. But here's the thing. Will we see that we were lazy? Will we see that we spent too much time pursuing sin and the things of this world? Will we see that we were pursuing things that don't really matter? Or will we see this, that we pursued Jesus? Even when we mess up, did we pursue Jesus in repentance, right? Will we see that we shared the gospel with those around us? Will we see that we served and loved well and cared for and taught others and just really lived out a life of goodness? Will we see that we pursued being the spouse or the parent or the grandparent or the employee or the employer or the student or a friend that God has called us to be? What will we see when we look into that mirror? Will we see time wasted or will we see time that we prioritized? Church, let's think about us here in our lives and as our church. Will we use the time we have with each other and in this church to shine for Jesus, to tell others about Jesus, to help others grow in their walk, to care for others, to meet the needs of our community, or will we be lazy and just let others do it? Are you with me? Are we paying careful attention to how we walk our lives and how we live individually and as a church? It matters. Let us not waste the breath that God has given us. Let's not waste the gifts and the abilities and the resources and time God has given us. Let's not waste it, because God has given us this life to be significant for His glory. What are you doing in your life? What are we doing in our lives that will have a significant or an eternal impact? Remember, this verse says, make the most of your time because the days are evil. Church, take a look around. There is darkness and evil all around you. There's heartache. There's sin. There's corruption. There's devastation. There's death. There's confusion. But we serve a God that loves us and wants to walk with us. And He wants to carry us and loves us. And He wants to rescue us from our sin and grow us and give us a peace and a knowledge and a wisdom and joy. He wants to give us a new life with Him as Lord. And He wants to be with us for eternity. I need you to hear something. I'm going to say this again, and then I'm going to give you another statement. We serve a God that wants to walk with us and carry us and love us and rescue us from our sin and grow us and give us peace and knowledge and wisdom and joy. He wants to give us a new life with Him as Lord so that we can be with Him for eternity. The world also needs to know that. Your neighbor needs to know that. Your coworkers, your employees, your spouse, your kids, your friends, your enemies, they need to know that. They need to see it in your life. They need to see that Jesus is in charge of your life. They need to see that you follow the Word of God. They need to see that you sacrifice for Jesus. They need to see your love for Him and for others in your life. All they need to hear it from you, church. Are you with me, man? They need to hear that from you. They need you to tell them. They need you to tell them about what Jesus has done in your life and what He also did for them. Church, the Bible's clear. Jesus said that in His last words, to tell others about Me, right? Let's not waste our time. Let's not miss an opportunity. Let's be aware of the brevity of life. Let's be aware of our neighbor's brevity of life. And know that how we live matters. What will we do with the time and people and abilities and gifts that God has given us? Here's the thing, church. We won't waste our lives, but we'll make the most of our times and we'll give God glory when we walk in godly and biblical wisdom. And that leads us to verse 17. He says this, "Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Usually when we talk about God's will, we think about big decisions in our life. Like, that's the only time we think about God's will sometime in our life, right? We got a big decision. God, what's Your will? But Paul is talking about something bigger than that here. I believe what Paul is talking about is what he's already told us in the Word of God. The Word of God that we have in our hands or on our phones or on the screen, we can read and we can pray over and we can learn and understand what God's will is for us. It's right in the Word of God. We have it. We hold it. He can help us understand it and apply it. So in your notes, we walk in godly and biblical wisdom when we do this. Understand what God has called us to pursue and what He's called us to avoid. I think that's a pretty easy statement. Understand what God has called us to pursue and what He's called us to avoid. Definite moments in our life where we have big decisions and we should seek God and His wisdom. In His will. But Paul is talking about here is that we are to know and understand God's will through the Word of God. In His Word, He tells us what we're to pursue and what we are to avoid. We're to understand that. We're to apply it to our lives. But here's the reality, church. You cannot know the will of God if you're not in the Word of God. You can't. You cannot live according to His will if you're not in the Word of God. We can't know what life we're to pursue. We can't know what to avoid if we're not in His Word. So to walk in wisdom, be in His Word, ask Him to help you understand and apply the Word. And remember this, we can't do it on our own. The Holy Spirit indwells God's people. He enables us to know and understand and live it out. He enables us to be wise. Church, let's pray this morning. Before we pray, just I want you guys to listen to what God is telling you today. We've got to walk in wisdom. Are we living lives that are surrendering to Him? Are we relying on Him? Are we depending on Him and making the most of each and every moment because our life matters? Church, are we spending time with God in His Word, in prayer, with His people so that we can grow in wisdom? The Bible is very clear that if we don't, we're walking as fools. What is God telling you today and how do you need to respond? Father, we love You. And as You're speaking to us individually, speak to us corporately as well. God, as individuals, help us hear from You. Help us know what the Word of God says. Help us know what to do, what to pursue, and what to avoid. God, we pray, Lord, that we wouldn't just know things so that we're smart and have head knowledge. But God, we pray, Lord, that we would transfer that into our heart and live it out. To have wisdom. God, to imitate You is to walk in wisdom. To know what You say and to follow it and apply it. We're really good at knowing and memorizing and understanding, but do we live it out? So God, whatever it is in our lives today that You're speaking into us and saying, hey, I'm teaching you something. You're not listening. You're not applying. God, help us respond today corporately as a church. God, You're very clear that we're to be a church that glorifies You. We're to be a church that makes much of You. We're to be a church that shares the gospel and invites people into a relationship with Jesus. We're to be a church, God, that shares the gospel of Jesus and helps people grow in their walk with Him. We're to be a church that is to be unified. We're to be a church that focuses everything we do for Your glory. God, help us be wise. And that comes from knowing You, being with You, being in Your Word, and applying what You teach us. God, I pray, Lord, today, if someone's here today and say, man, I don't know Jesus, I don't know God, I'm not adopted in the family of God. We pray, Lord, today, that today would be the day that they would listen to the words of Jesus when He says, follow Me. They would listen to the words in Romans that says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. God, You can rescue us from the pits of hell, from darkness, from sin. God, if there's someone that doesn't know You today, either in here or online, we pray, Lord, today would be that day. They would surrender their life to You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Church, if you are here today, I just want you guys to stand. We're going to, if you're able and ready, we're going to sing here in just a second. But whatever God is speaking into your life, apply it. Because to not is foolish, but to do it is to be safe. Thank you. don't need to sit. We're going to be excused here in just a second after we pray. Hey, don't forget, if you want to sign up for that book study, do that through your connection card, through online. You can put that in the offering thing back there. And also, guys, we still got to continue to serve and to give and to meet and to serve the needs of our community and one another and to support missions. And so thank you for being loving and gracious and giving through tithes and offerings. And let's just continue to do that. You guys can give that in the box on the way out. And for you guys who are online, you just do that through online giving. So let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, God, for your word. It's a love letter to us that speaks into our life. God, we pray, Lord, today that as we read it, we would trust you, we would understand it, and we would apply it. Whatever it is in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, love you guys. God's best to you this week.